Yes, you took the words right out of my mouth there. An absolute roller coaster with us. Six games to cover.
Derek,
sorry.
Copenhagen. 2-1
yes.
Copenhagen.
Yes. Fuck again.
Get it right up, Andy Walker.
Oh, fucking brilliant. So they need two goals in fucking
goals.
5 minutes.
Yes.
Oh, superb.
Right.
Sorry, mate.
Right. When do you start this again now? Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. With me is my co-host. Oh, fuck's sake! 2 3 weeks now. Can you do it?
You're getting too excited, mate. With your funny line that you were going to do there.
Right, start again. Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your co-host.
Not again.
I can't contain myself here, this is funny.
No, I can't, yeah. It's fucking right. Hilarious, sorry right. Mate.
We'll go again.
Excuse me.
Achoo. He got the ball, I can't remember who it was to, maybe Jack or somebody like that. That would be hard because he wasn't playing.
That's correct, aye.
Yeah.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, Derek. How are you, mate?
I'm even better because we're the only Scottish team left in Europe now.
Yes, our fifth attempt to try and get this podcast started.
Yes, god damn you, Copenhagen, for scoring.
I know. Yes, Derek, I'm very well and even better now after Copenhagen just scoring the second goal at the Piggery just a few minutes ago. So, 3-1 Copenhagen. Oh, this is fucking hilarious. 3-1, oh, Andy Walker is as sick as a fucking parrot. Get it right, Tommies.
Oh,
that's fucking hilarious. Fucking brilliant.
Oh, my God. We'll get this started yet, properly.
Oh, my God, this is fucking hilarious.
Right, contain yourself, Derek.
Yes, sorry, the Copenhagen just threw us completely there. Not that we're bothered about them too much, but yes, we're here to talk about Rangers. You know, a mixed bag, and you've taken the words out of my mouth earlier on. It's a roller coaster, isn't it, Dave?
It certainly is, Derek. We're down in the dumps, and then we're, you know, the jubilation is just incredible, and it's just, I don't know which way we're going, Derek, to be perfectly honest with you, but at this moment in time, we are on the crest of a wave just now, and we've just got to really hope and pray that it stays like that, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, what a result last night. We'll get into it, obviously, but we've got 5 games to cover
here.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yes, a lot to talk about, so we better just go rattling and go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. Right, so the first game we've got to cover, rather unfortunately, is on the game on Wednesday the 12th of February. It was a 2-1 loss away to Kilmarnock. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Halliday, Jack, Arfield, Aribo, Hadji, Kent and Morelos. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Flanagan, Edmondson, Davis, Jones, Stewart and Camberry. Where do we start with this, Dave?
Oh, I honestly don't know, Derek. I'm actually waiting to see to hear what you've got to say about the game first before I pitch in.
Well, I'll get into the meat and bones of the game. In the 6th minute, there was some good tight passing going forward on the right end, and then Morelos having a 25-yard shot off target. It was a mishit and ended up being a trundler. 13th minute, Tavernier down the right plays a good ball into the middle of the box. Morelos got his head onto it. It was on target, but no power and right at the keeper. 23rd minute, ball on the left, deep in the Killie half. Halliday, who passed it to the middle to Hadji, and with a quick first-time pass right into the box for Ebo, who shoots just wide. Unlucky, and it was outstanding vision and pass by Hadji there. 26 minutes, was a corner from Kelly right to the edge of the box in the centre, and the attacker balloons with his shot over the bar. 29th minute, Hadji with a snapshot, but was under pressure and well wide. 31st minute, lovely quick move down the left, starting from defence, passed into the middle to Aribo, who has a lovely touch to beat his marker, passes to the left to Kent, fed the ball to Morelos in the box, and a great last-ditch sliding tackle by the defender to take the ball away from Morelos and put it out for the corner. And then from there, on the 31st minute, we went 1-0 up with Arfield. An absolute stunner. The corner was played short, worked to the middle, passed to Arfield, and from 25 yards has a stunning strike, bending the ball to the right side and back into the back of the net. The keeper had absolutely no chance.
Yep, absolutely tremendous goal, Derek. As you say, hit it first time. He knew exactly what he was doing, but the dip and the swerve on it as well. Keeper, absolutely no way he was saving that. And an absolutely fantastic goal. He put us 1-0 up.
Absolutely. 34th minute, Aribo robs the defender of the ball on the left near the goal line, crosses in, defender clears only to Arfield, who has a first-time volley at the edge of the box and just wide. And then, moment of controversy, 38th minute, corner from Kelly, a clear dive in the box by their captain Dicker, who was already on a yellow. If the Alfredo Morelos one in the Old Firm game was deemed to have dived, then this was the exact same. The only difference is the last one where the defender for Celtic cut across Morelos and it looked actually more of a foul than this one. But this was a clear dive and nothing given. Diabolical refereeing.
Double standards again, Derek. But as I say, we seem to spend our time going on about this all the time. But as you say, as clear a dive as you'll see, it really was. It was actually quite laughable how bad it was.
Yeah, but we'll rack them up here because we've got a lot to talk about in terms of referees in the next few games anyway. 43rd minute, Kent fouled by Power. Both fell down. Power prevented Kent from getting up. Kent tries to get up. Power reacts. Halliday comes steaming in. And then the ref books Power and Kent. Absolutely baffling. Kent done absolutely nothing wrong and all that. And if somebody was going to get a yellow card, it probably should have been Halliday and Power, not Kent and Power. Just a complete bottle job by the referee once again. And half time came. Got to be fairly content with that being 1-0.
Yes. Yep. I certainly was, Derek, because I thought that, you know, for most of it, we controlled the game. We certainly deserved to be winning. It was a great goal. And, you know, you would like to think that we'd be saying to ourselves, right, that's us 1-0 up. Try and just, not even so much play on the break, but just try and control the second half. You know, let them try and come at us and, you know, just make sure that we're completely watertight at the back. That's, you know, really all we were looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. So at half-time, 50th minute, outstanding ball from Morelos, who was tight on the touchline on the right side as he was going forward. Played right to the centre on the edge of the box, looking for Kent, who was just nudged by the backtracking Burke. No attempt to play the ball whatsoever. By the letter of the law, that's a foul and a red card.
Definitely.
And I think he was already on a yellow as well at that point, if I remember right. But, you know, once again, two decisions by referees which are game-changing decisions.
Yep, definitely.
51st minute, great shot from Morelos with his left foot after a great hold-up play by Aribo going goal-bound, but the keeper had a great dive and save to get the ball. 56th minute, great play from Morelos on the right, great skill to get through two defenders and into the box. It was a slight hand on his shoulder and Morelos goes down easy. Absolutely daft to do it from Morelos once again. And could this be the reason why when Morelos does dive now, well, hold our hands up here because Morelos is fucking pathetic at diving. But when he does get fouled, he doesn't get that rub of the green because it's almost like the boy that cried wolf.
It's we all know that he's getting watched, Derek, and we all know that he's not going to get away with anything whatsoever, anything. So I think it's, you know, he should be saying to himself, look, there's no even any point in trying to do anything like that because I'm not going to get anything, and if anything, I'm going to get myself any bother. And, you know, that's exactly what happened.
Yep. 60th minute, lovely long ball down the right by Tavernier to Morelos. Morelos tries to lob the keeper from the edge of the box with a first-time volley. It takes an age to come down and ends up hitting the top of the bar and out. Very unlucky there from him there, but good vision. 64th minute, Hadji with a shot very similar to the goal score that he scored against Hibs, but took a bobble just before he shot, and that was a trundle on save by the keeper. 69th minute, Kelly on the right side near the goal line, held the ball up, had a shot at a tight angle. McGregor had to dive to get to it, fairly comfortable though. 73rd minute, a lot of pressure in and around the Kelly box, but couldn't get a shot off cleanly. And then all our good work had been undone on the 76th minute where Killie drew level. Ball crossed in from the right, deflected off the Killie player in the box, falls right to their attacker who tries a shot from outside of the box. He completely mishit the ball, falls right into the path of their attacker who was unmarked in the box, and that's a shot past McGregor. Certainly handball when it was crossed in as well.
Derek, that's what I was absolutely enraged about, because the ball, I mean, it was as clear a handball as you can get. He used the part of his arm to get control of the ball, which was quite incredible. So for the fact that that was stopped right then and there, you know, I was going absolutely daft, so I dread to think what the players were doing as well. But clear as day, that gay goal should not have stood.
Yeah, absolutely not. There's three game-changing decisions by referees and linesmen. But taking the handball out of it, we should have done a lot better to defend that as well. Just a bit of fortune as well with the fact that their player completely mishit it and it fell right to one of their players. And I can kind of see why that player wasn't marked, if, you know, it certainly wasn't part of play and it went well wide as well, but we should have been doing better defensively. 82nd minute, Hadji off and Stewart on. 82nd minute as well, Killie player clearly holds back Tavernier and prevents him getting forward. No yellow card again, much like the one that happened with Darren McGregor in the Hibs game as well. Wasn't quite as a wrestling match as the one against Morelos, but again, no yellow card given for a clear holdback. 84th minute, Morelos spins in the box with the ball, clearly pushed, no foul. Surely should have been another yellow card for a dive if that wasn't a foul then, or it should have been a penalty.
Yep.
85th minute, Aribo off, Camberi on. 85th minute, cross into the box, Morelos gets his head to it and went into the back of the net, ruled as a foul because he put his arm slightly on the defender. An absolute joke of the decision. So if that one there was ruled a foul, then the previous one where Morelos got a booking for was certainly not a foul then.
Yep, exactly, yeah.
So it's you can't have it either way. Just a ludicrous decision as well. So there's, I think, five game-changing decisions by the referee in this game. Yep. Five.
Yep, quite incredible.
And then we've seen it coming because this was just typical of us. 88th minute, Killie went 2-1 up. It was a long ball launched up by their keeper, one header to knock it over the head of Goldson, and I think Katic was involved as well. The attacker nips in and puts it into the back of the net. Just a shocking goal to lose, so simple, and how many times are we going to be undone by this long ball knocked up over the defence?
It was shambolic defending, Derek, let's be honest with you. I was still absolutely raging for the fact that we weren't winning the game, you know, with the, you know, the Morelos chance and the, you know, their goal. I was still raging about that, to be perfectly honest with you. And it was as if it was like a surreal feeling, because I'd been watching it, and when they scored the second goal, I honestly couldn't quite believe that, you know, that was us getting beat. I was completely in shock. And it was shocking defending, Derek. It was. I'll agree with you 100%. Really bad. But we should never have been in that position. We should have been winning that match, by at least one goal anyway at that point, if it wasn't for absolutely shocking decisions against us. I was more annoyed about that than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's one of these things where this league is being lost because of our own undoing like that, and we'll get into the next couple of games as well, won't we? But there was a bit of fallout from this game as well. Morelos was again subject to racist abuse and racist comments. Fair play to Killie are investigating the comments. A video went around social media at the time, and it was certainly clear as day what was said. And as I said, well done to Killie for dealing with it professionally, unlike Celtic with the Morelos issue. Of note, on the Morelos issue at the Old Firm game, the 12-year-old boy who was charged for the racist comments against Morelos, as expected, he's been referred to the children's panel. And what's more hilarious about it is the fact that Ofcom kicked out Celtic's complaint to them about Sky's interview with Morelos as well. Basically, they stated that because it was done through Sky's website and their on-demand channels, there's no case to answer. Not that there was any case to answer anyway. Apology was given, and, you know, it should have been accepted. Celtic made out to be they're the victims once again.
Yep, playing the victim card, Derek. But again, that's another story with them, isn't it?
Well, we'll certainly get into that later on in the podcast, yeah. But anyway, we had to regroup, and we then kicked off on Sunday, the 16th of February. It was a 1-0 home win against Livingston. Now, that had been postponed from the previous day due to a waterlogged pitch because the storms we were having. So it was meant to be on the Saturday, was moved to the Sunday, kind of inexplicably. Livingston retweeted that it was an SPFL decision to play the next day. Both clubs wanted it to be on the Monday.
Derek, I, as you know, was absolutely raging because I had actually got and won tickets, believe it or not, to go. And my son and I set off on the Saturday and got as far as Glasgow Royal, only for my wife to phone me to tell us to about turn. But to be fair, the weather when we travelled through was absolutely horrendous on the motorway, but absolutely raging because I couldn't go on the Sunday at all. So I had to give up my tickets altogether. So it wasn't a very good day for me either.
Certainly not. No. So, was one change to this game. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Halliday, Arfield, Davis, Jack, Adjei, Morelos and Kent. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Flanagan, Aribo, Kamara, Jones and Camberry and Stewart. So, first half, really not a lot happened. In the 15th minute, Hadji had a shot from distance on the ground, well wide of the right post. 17th minute, was a quick break down the left with Kent. Cuts inside, hits a curling shot but wide. 34th minute, great cutting move with Davis going forward through the middle, a 1-2 with Morelos. Davis gets the ball to Halliday in the middle of the box, where it's a flick shot and the keeper pulls off a brilliant save to knock it into the post and wide. Best move of the game so far at that point on the 34th minute. 40th minute, fantastic break down the right with Morelos playing an outstanding long cross ball in front of the defence, which finds Hadji, who passes to the overlapping Davis on the right, got into the box and had a shot, but another good save by the keeper by narrowing the angle and blocking the shot, putting out for the corner. 42nd minute, absolutely shocking lunge on Goldson where the attacker caught him clean with the face of his studs. A yellow card given, it should have been a red, clear as day. The linesman was about 5 feet from it, and that was much the same as a challenge Aberdeen player done against Ayer. I think it was Cosgrove, was it not? And against Celtic. So just a shocking, shocking challenge and should have been a red. So again, another refereeing decision.
Yeah.
So into half time, we were looking for some sort of comeback from
spark,
the basket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it never really happened. 52nd minute, good break with one touch. He's getting the ball forward, ending Morelos shanking the ball wide. Poor, and it was really a poor effort and lack of composure. 54th minute, Kent with a shot in the box, but right at the keeper. 55th minute, Kent came off and Camberry came on, and he kind of changed the game there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yep, definitely. Yep.
56th minute, long throw into the box. Initial wave of attackers missed it with the head. Bounces right in front of the Livingston player, right in the middle of the box. The Livingston attacker jumps with a half volley and gets a shot off and a great close range save from McGregor. Very dangerous there.
Yeah.
However, in the 58th minute, Arfield scored and made it 1-0. Lots of possession getting the ball forward, passed high to Hadji, who is near the halfway line. On the spot, he controls it with one touch, looks up, plays an amazing long ball to Arfield in space on the right near the box, who takes a touch to knock it forward a yard, and then with his second touch, shoots it past the keeper. A great all-round goal, and that was just ultimately right from Hadji. You know, didn't even have to move an inch to get the ball and just play an amazing pass.
He seems to know, Derek, where his attacking players are. Even if he's got his back to goal, he seems to know what players are making runs and where. And that is probably his best asset, I think, as he's through balls. You know, the way that he can just pick out players. Absolutely tremendous.
Yep, absolutely brilliant. 65th minute, Halliday going forward gets nudged off the ball. There was correctly no foul given, but his momentum takes him over the electronic advertising, and as he's fallen, his head appears to strike a stool and causes a big gash in his head. He looked out of it for a good minute, didn't he?
Oh, it was a bad one, Derek. I mean, I actually thought for a second that he would be, you know, that would be him, you know, out from there. But as you say, he certainly did look as if he was, you know, slightly dazed, didn't he?
Yeah, but a couple of minutes later, he was back on with the head bandages. Something about a Rangers player in a head bandage, isn't it? The only thing he could have done is be Croatian, and you know, maybe the head knock he was. So
yeah, exactly.
69th minute, good play, working the ball from right to the centre end, and then Jack trying a placed shot from the edge of the box, but goes wide. 70th minute, Morelos has the ball in the back of the net, but ruled offside. Ball was fed to Camberry, who has a great first touch to take it forward. Morelos nips in and effectively steals it off him, shoots in the back of the net. As usual, RTV replays were absolutely dire, but it was still seen by Andrew Dixon on Twitter and clearly showed that it was onside. So once again, Morelos getting a goal ruled off, and it clearly was, should have stood.
And these things, Derek, he's needing a goal just now. His confidence is, you can tell that his confidence is low, and that's been two goals that have been taken away from him. Two goals that could, you know, completely change, you know, his game for us, but he's just not getting any luck at all just now, is he?
No, it's just, I don't know what it is with him. We'll obviously get a wee bit more into it when the next coming games, but there's something up with him just now. I know there was apparently contract talks getting opened up with him. I don't know if he's in the huff with something. I don't know if he would, but everything that he says in the media seems to be that, you know, he's all happy here. But there's obviously a lot of off-field issues now in terms of his personal life, in terms of, you know, the abuse he's getting as well. And there's a lot of focus on him. That might be taking a big toll on him. So, you know, you've got to remember it would be tough for any one of us, and we're, you know, in our 30s and 40s. He's still, you know, in his early 20s. So, it's got to be a lot for him.
Yep, definitely.
81st minute, Livingston out of nothing get the ball forward. The attacker has a volley at the edge of the box and pings off the post and back out and clear to be cleared for the corner. That should have been a goal. It was very dangerous and kept us on our toes because we're only 1-0 at this stage as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
82nd minute, Hadji off, Stewart on. 85th minute, corner from the left. Goldson gets his head to it, but it was cleared over the bar. 85th minute, quick break by Livingston, ending in a shot just inside the box, but right at McGregor. And in the 87th minute, Kimberi had the ball into the back of the net, but it was ruled offside. It was a long kick up field by McGregor. Morelos ends up picking up the ball, took it forward. Lovely ball played to the left for the on-running Kimberi, who shoots it into the back of the net. Again, RTV replays very poor. They need to get that sorted. But Andrew Dixon put up a still as again, and he did look, unfortunately, just about half foot off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And full time. So not the greatest of performances, but a win's a win. It maybe masks what was to come. You've got to take the 3 points.
Yeah, you do. If we had have been like absolutely, you know, free-flowing football and bombarding the Livingston goal and, you know, completely controlling the game and playing absolutely out of this world, you would say, oh, we were just unlucky. But as you say, we just had this horrible feeling that we were masking something, didn't we? It wasn't the complete game and performances for players that we were looking for, was it? But, you know, we were happy with the 3 points, but very nervy.
I think, yeah, we've got to just look at it as that we got the 3 points. Sometimes you've got to win ugly. We've said that all season. It's unfortunately been once too often in the league so far this year, and as we'll get to in the St Johnson game in a couple of games' time, that doesn't always work out for you. But anyway, next game we've got to cover here is Thursday the 20th of February, and just an incredible night, a 3-2 win at home against SC Braga in the Europa League last 32. I still can't get over what's happened, and we'll get into obviously last night's game as well, but we'll go down probably as one of the best nights we've had in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely incredible, Derek, from going from utter dejection to being completely over the moon with everything that happened. I'll let you get into the game, Derek. We'll relive it, but what an absolutely incredible game.
Yeah. So we ended up making two changes in this game. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Barisic, Arfield, Davis, Kamara, Hadji, Morelos and Kent. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Halliday, Edmondson, Aribo, Barker, Stewart and Kimberi. On the third minute, it was a free kick from Braga on the left side, floated into the box, a free header forcing McGregor to make a great save, knocked out to their attacker at the back post who tried to shoot but hits the side netting. So really dangerous, straight off the mark there.
Straight away, yep.
My feed went down for about 15 minutes. I could only keep up to date on Twitter, and by the sound of it, we were getting a bit of a pound
in. Yes, we were, Derek.
And they did score their goal on the 11th minute. So I managed to see the goal back. We were passing about in midfield. Kamara, a really, really lazy pass backwards and loses the ball. Braga, quick passing. Lazy, half-hearted attempts to get the ball back, as if we wouldn't want to put a challenge in. Their attacker unleashes a 30-yard stunning shot into the top right corner, and that was that. I mean, can't take away from the shot. We should have done a lot better defending it, but for me, and my mates have shouted me down in this one, for me, I felt McGregor was maybe a wee bit too far off his line and out of position, but again, it was a an absolute brammer of a shot.
I'm not going to blame McGregor for it, Derek. What annoyed me the most about it was we were not making it difficult for Braga at that point. And by that, I mean we were basically passing the ball to them or giving the ball away very easily or misplacing passes. And we were the masters of our own downfall at this point in the game. And that's what annoyed me the most. The goal was absolutely stunning, but they should never have been in that position in the first place to get the goal. And it was all down to sloppy, sloppy play. And it had been coming because we just couldn't get a grip. We were panicking completely. And it was looking at that stage, Derek, like it was going to be a bit of an annihilation.
Yeah, certainly from what I was hearing anyway, and wasn't sounding good. And we knew Braga were going to pose a big threat, the top goal scorers in the competition as well at that point. So, but my feed went back on round about 22:30. On the 24th minute, lovely ball fed through to Morelos, who was in space by Hadji, beat the offside, goes towards goal on the right of the box. The defender was catching up. Morelos had a shot, but it was right at the keeper. The keeper didn't even narrow the angle that much as well, so it's kind of poor by Morelos, I would have said.
Yeah, great chance, Derek. And at that stage, it was kind of a ball out of nothing. So, but at that stage, I was saying to myself, well, you know, we are not in this game, but we're still... You know, that's a chance that we've had there. So it was slightly encouraging, even although Braga had the bulk of possession and all of the chances. It was maybe just a wee sort of glimmer of hope at that stage, just the fact that we were able to get through.
Yeah. 29th minute, long switch from right to left to find Morelos in the box. Switches feet, has a shot, but right at the keeper, who saves with his feet and puts out for the corner. 37th minute, defence splitting pass right through our defence. Attacker was running in, but fortunately McGregor was aware and well off his line to meet the ball and cleared at the edge of the box. 39th minute, Braga down the right, got the ball into the box, switched feet and hit a shot through their defence at an angle, but it was just by the post. So really, into half-time, it was a great game for the neutral, but we've been largely outplayed. Braga were more hungry than us. They were knocking the ball a bit well, playing quickly and playing with a very high line, which is quite surprising for an away team. They were winning the midfield battles, and many of our players were posted missing. Too many stray passes for me, losing the ball cheaply. They've been dangerous on attack and unlucky on occasion. We've shown again what we can do with that 10-minute spell with Morelos, two chances there as well, and it caused them issues. So that was the way to play it. They were playing a very high line, which is a very dangerous game to play. If your offside trap gets beat, then you know we're through on goal, or the opposition's through on goal. Morelos as well picked up a needless yellow card for remonstrating with the referee, which ruled them out of the second leg. Absolute stupidity from Morelos, because it was a nothing challenge as well. There was nothing really in it. That never went for him, and he just spat the dummy.
Yes, it was. I was feeling, I think it was just more frustration than anything else, Derek, because as you say, there was nothing happening for him. I do find it hard to try and be negative about Morelos. I know that because, you know, I do think he's fantastic, but he was having another torrid night. He was having the chances and there was nothing, you know, there was nothing coming off for him, Derek. So I'll put it down to frustration more than anything else, just to try and give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but I mean, it's these things that cost us though. And
yeah.
Do you know something? The overriding feeling on social media was the fact that I'm actually quite glad he's missing for the second leg, because he maybe needs a wee bit of a spell on the sideline just to regroup, calm down. And, you know, well, as we've seen Phil last night, we've done well without him. So.
Yeah.
But into half-time anyway, we needed something, some sort of spark. Well, we'll get into it. But in the 46 minute, it was ball up in the air in midfield. Kamara heads the ball backwards, but right into the path of the attacker, who was free in space. Fortunately, he had a heavy touch and McGregor was able to clear it, but he was more or less one-on-one with McGregor there. A glaring opportunity for Braga. Had that went in, then that would have been curtains, I think, from there. But 46 minute as well, just after that, right up the park, down the right-hand side, Morelos puts in what I assume was a cross, and the swerve of it takes the ball towards goal and it goes just wide. 51st minute, ball played down the right out from our defence. We lose out. Attacker picks up the ball, drives it forward and has a shot from 20 yards and off the bar. Again, another close one for us. And then the right decision, and you'd seen it from about the 50th minute, a sub was getting readied and the only option he could have done was take Kamara off, because he was atrocious and Aribo came on for him. Just after that, down the left, we were down the left-hand side, ended Morelos having a shot, but deflected off the defender's leg and safely into the arms of the keeper. 55th minute, Morelos on the right plays Hadji in, who was overlapping. Morelos drifts to the centre of the box. Hadji puts in a great cross, bounces in front of Morelos and off his foot. Keeper gets his hand to it, but spills, going goal-bound and then cleared off the line by the defender. Keeper got another touch to put Morelos off as well. I think there was a VAR replay as well, just to make sure it never went over the line. Yeah. Never. So just that was one of these occasions the ball just wouldn't sit right for Morelos there, so quite unlucky there. And then on the 59th minute, 2-0 down, Braga had a throw in at the dugouts, three quick passes to get it to their attacker, who drove the ball towards the right, and at the edge of the box he shoots to the left into the back of the net. Great goal. I don't think it was a throw in the first place,
no,
mind you.
Definitely not. No, that was another thing, that was what I was raging about as well. It was quite clear. I was watching it again with my son and he was going absolutely daft as well, saying, you know, that's definitely our throw-in and they've got that wrong, and then they scored from it. So it's another one that really shouldn't have stood, Derek.
So just as you know, it's not just Scottish referees, because certainly the referee were giving random decisions, random throw-ins to them when it clearly wasn't their ball. But you know, 2-0 down, we should have done better in defence, and apparently that was that boy's first goal for the club as well. From there, did Braga switch off a wee bit perhaps, but we turned into another team from that moment on. We were just like a team possessed.
Yep.
And we got a goal on the 66th minute, really kind of just stunning. Hadji scored the goal to make it 2-1. The ball played out to Hadji on the right of the box, switches to his left foot and then hits a belter of a shot, threading it through the defence into the bottom right corner. Kind of out of nothing, even though we started to play better. We didn't get any opportunities apart from that one there. But how he got that through the two defenders there is beyond me. And there's where it started.
The Hadji goal, Derek, absolutely sensational. The control, his touch to take it away, and then that shot, the accuracy and the power that he got on that to get it down, you know, right down in the very bottom corner past the goalkeeper. It was an absolutely sensational goal. It really was. And sometimes when you get a goal of such high quality like that, it totally spurs the team on. It certainly did with the crowd as well. The crowd had a huge part to play in this, Derek. And, you know, as you say, for there on, there was no way that we were going to be getting beat in that game. After that, we just completely turned it around after that. And it was all down to that fantastic goal. Absolutely tremendous.
Yep. 68th minute, Kent off and Camberi on. 73rd minute, Barisic, he came off injured. He got I think it was a bit of a kidney punch, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Stewart came on for him. And then, in a moment of just absolute brilliance, Aribo made it 2-2. An outstanding individual goal. I never picked this up at the time, but he actually started it himself on the wide left. I can't remember who he got the ball to, but he passed it into midfield, and then he got the ball back. He picks the ball up again from 25 yards from goal, takes the ball through a tightly packed defence. I think he skipped past about four or five defenders, dinks to the left, takes it around the last defender and shoots into the back of net. That was just magical.
That it was. Absolutely sensational, Derek. He got the ball. It was basically, I think he was just inside his own half, and it was a sort of heavy weighted pass that he didn't really control, but he managed to sort of slide in to get the ball played in. I think it was maybe Arfield, and then it was the 1-2, and he basically just kept going. I think he took four players out in one move, Derek. He sort of shuffled to his right, he leant to his left and took the ball, curled it past one, skipped past the next player, rounded the next player into the goal, and then his finish past the goalkeeper was absolutely fantastic. It was tremendous. What a goal. With two absolutely stunning goals. Couldn't quite believe it, for us to get back to 2-2. It was just. I don't think anybody in the stadium could believe it, considering how down and out we were. Absolutely sensational.
And for a change, I wasn't. Obviously, we couldn't watch it on RTV as well, because of the rights and all that. So it was picked up by BT, I think it was.
Yep.
And so they've got proper microphones around the stadium, and the atmosphere was incredible.
Yep. Absolutely incredible, Derek. It really was. As soon as I watched it, it reminded me instantly of a game years and years ago when we were getting beat 2-0 by Marseille in the Champions League, and we brought it back to 2-2. But, you know, as you're about to get into it, we went one better, and we went on incredibly and won the game.
Yep. 78th minute, ball played from the left into the right, into the Braga box, out to Cambéry on the left, who hits a shot, but it hits the side net. And then, as you said, on the 81st minute, we went 3-2 with Hadji scoring. Well, technically Hadji scored anyway. It was a free kick from the centre from about 27 yards. He went to take the free kick, and then the ball moved with the wind. So obviously he had to stop and then retake it. And I don't know if that spooked the defence out or anything like that, but he hits it, retakes it, hits the shot, hits off the back of the defender in the wall, spins up and into the top left corner. A bit of fortune, but we'll take it every single day of the week, and the place erupted. Unbelievable.
It was one of those surreal moments, Derek, wasn't it? You could just sense that something was going to happen. And there's that old saying that, you know, when you say, I wouldn't care how we scored, it could go in off somebody's backside or anything like that. But their goalkeeper, who had been absolutely sensational all night, and it took two goals at absolute, you know, sheer, you know, world-class goals to get past them. You know, it was going to have to be a goal like that, or like a deflection like that. We really weren't caring, Derek, were we? It took the free kick. You know, as you say, the ball moved. It took the deflection. It ended up in the back of the net. There was nobody giving two shits how that ball ended up in the back of the net. And Braga were completely shell-shocked, weren't they? They could not believe what had happened after so long in the game that they had controlled it, and then we just blitzed them in the last 25 minutes. It was absolutely incredible. I don't think we'll see a game like that for many, many a year, Derek. You know, that comeback is just absolutely incredible. I keep saying it. It was fantastic. It really was. And it gave everybody a lift. The fans, you know, the players, everything. It was fantastic. It really was.
I mean, you're talking about the 11 players of Braga couldn't believe it happened. The 50,000 fans couldn't believe it happened, you know, in the stadium. Everybody watching could not believe that happened. Yep. It was just a memorable night. As I said at the start, this will go down as probably one of the best results and the best, you can't call it performances in some respects, but the best moments of European football we've seen in a Rangers team. Just incredible. 83rd minute, Goldson with an amazing tackle in the box to take the ball off the attacker at the last minute. Just absolutely brilliant from Goldson there. And that's how the game ended up. Just absolutely... You kind of lost for words, and you kind of still are talking about it, but just something that, you know, is something special. Disappointing to lose the two away goals, but, you know, set us up and put us in the
Derek with you know, 27 minutes to go, we would have bitten somebody's arm off just to be drawn level at that point because of, you know, how the game was going. But for us to be 3-2 up was just incredible, absolutely fantastic, and giving us something to go into the second leg with, which we just didn't see that one coming at all at one stage. So,
and I'm not sure if you've seen the stats for this, and I was amazed by this. Despite us being so bad for the first 60 minutes, the shots on target for Braga were 4. The shots on target for Rangers were 8.
Right. Well, the one thing, Derek, that got me throughout the game was, and you know, the bit of hope, and I said this to my son as well, even although we were playing so bad, we were still creating goal scoring opportunities, which was, you know, something, you know, that the players must have been thinking about as well. I know that Steven Gerrard did say that as well. So, you know, it maybe was one thing we knew that, you know, we could get in about them and we could create chances. And thankfully, it happened. And as you say, that game will go down as one of the classic European matches. And certainly for, you know, a comeback like that, we'll be talking about that for years and years to come, Derek. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. So we were hoping that would kickstart our league campaign after the winter break.
Which I texted you after that when I said, surely that's going to kickstart things for us.
Oh, but how wrong we were.
Exactly. The roller coaster had been at the top turn, and now it was just spiralling back down to the bottom again, Derek, in their next match.
Yep. It was on Sunday the 23rd of February. It was a 2-2 draw away to St Johnstone. Now, three changes were made for this one. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Halliday, Jack, Aribo, Arfield, Kent, Hadji and Morelos. On the subs bench with Edmondson, Davis, Ojo, Barker, Camberi and Stewart. Now, the one thing that I think most of us wanted to see is, well, given the fact that Morelos is going to be out for the next game against Braga, why, and we've only got this game to go in between, why not start Camberi?
Yes, I was quite... I know that, Steven Gerrard has he said that before, that he wants to try and always play his best team. But I was quite shocked about that as well, Derek. I would have liked to have seen him, you know, playing from the start as well. Because certainly when he came on against Braga, he looked a real handful as well, you know, when he came on. So, I was quite surprised at that myself.
The first minute was a long ball played to the left of the box from a free kick. Katic gets a snapshot off but hits the side netting. Third minute, short corner from St Johnson getting the ball into the box. The attacker manages to get a shot off and a low diving save from McGregor. However, on the seventh minute, St Johnson's went 1-0 up. It was a header forward at the halfway line by St Johnson. Katic chasing back, kicks the ball up in the air but doesn't clear it. Ball knocked forward into the box by the St Johnson attacker and just shoots it past McGregor, who got a hand to it but never done enough. Yep. Don't know what Katic was playing out there.
No, he had an absolute shocker, Derek, didn't he? It looked really easy for him to deal with, and it was an absolute horror show. That's all we can say about it, an absolute horror show by him. And for a guy who the vast majority of fans have been, you know, championing for a while, and you know when he played at Parkhead and scored the winner and everybody was delighted, it looked as if he was turning, it's kind of a bit of deja vu with him, isn't it? Because he did exactly the same thing last season, didn't he?
Yep. So in the 11th minute, Kent with a shot on the left side, saved by the keeper but spilled. 12th minute, Jack with a half volley on the edge of the box, making the keeper pull off a good save and out for the corner. I remember that being an actually decent chance for Jack there. 23rd minute, St Johnson shot in the box after some good play but goes over the bar. 40th minute, sustained pressure in and around St Johnson box but couldn't get a clean shot off. 47th minute, ball worked into the box, then out wide right of the box to Morelos, who has a shot at an angle but saved by the keeper at the near post. And that's how it went into half-time. So really, really poor in the first half.
Yep.
Certainly wasn't the reaction we were after.
No.
And a lot of players missing there.
Yep.
So Gerrard done something quite bold. He taken Halliday off and he put Camberi on. So
yes,
a very attacking move at half-time.
Yep.
So, And it paid off pretty much straight away, because on the 49th minute, Camberi scored to make it one each. The ball was played out from the back, got down the right to Tavernier, played across into the box, but it was short. However, it bounced, missed by our player, and then right into the path of Camberi in the box, who had a lovely volley, which goes into the top left-hand corner.
Great goal, Derek. As you say, ball played across. I thought it was going to get to our sort of first player, but as you say, it was missed by everyone and it bounced just perfect, waist high for Camberi. Swung round with the right foot, got an absolutely fantastic connection with it and volleyed it right into top corner. Tremendous goal. What a fantastic goal, you know, to score your first goal for the club. Tremendous.
Yep. 53rd minute, Morelos shot in the box, but it was right at the keeper and saved. 66th minute, St Johnson down the right, a cross played in on the deck, missed by everyone, and McGregor uses his leg to get the ball away and out for the corner. Dangerous attack there.
Yep.
68th minute, Kent on the left drives the ball towards goal, passes to Camberi in the box, who has a shot but a good save for the keeper and out for the corner. And then we went 2-1 up on the 70th minute with Joe Aribo scoring. Ball on the left to Katic, plays a good ball down the right wing to Camberi, who has a wonderful turn to put the defender on his arse, drives the ball forward towards goal, passes to Aribo in the centre of the box, who flicks it into the back of net. Brilliant goal. Decent pass by Katic, but it was all about Camberi there, just putting the defender on his arse with that dummy in turn.
It really was. It was a great move, Derek. And for a big guy, the control that he showed and the way that he turned to get it and the skill was just absolutely fantastic. And, you know, that had been him, scored one and, you know, created one. You know, we were saying, you know, why is this guy not been on sooner? Do you know what I mean? So it was it was a fantastic goal. And at that point, Derek, we looked as if we were in complete control again and we were actually playing some really good stuff. And every time Camberi was getting the ball, you know, after that, he was causing them all sorts of problems.
Yep, absolutely. 73rd minute, Camberi plays the ball over the top of the defence to Morelos, who has a shot at an angle but over the bar. He came off 2 minutes later on the 75th minute with Davis coming on for him. 77th minute, Hadji off and Stewart on. And then all of the work was outdone on the 79th minute because St Johnstone pulled a goal back and it went 2-2. Corner in from the right, Katic nonchalantly jumps up, half clears it with his leg, but only falls to the St Johnstone player who knocks it into the bottom left-hand corner. And to get the corner in the first place, it was almost a carbon copy of the actual first goal for St Johnstone, with Katic just knocking the ball high into the air, and then eventually it gets cleared out for the corner. Just
yep.
Katic, as you said, had an absolute nightmare in this game. How he wasn't hooked, I do not know.
It was, again, a horror show. And, you know, I do hate having a go at our players, but you really have to single him out here, Derek. It was two horrendous errors by him, and that's, you know, ultimately cost us two goals and cost us 2 points.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where to go with that one, and did have a couple of other chances there in the 84th minute. Jack with a shot from distance, but went well wide. And in 92nd minute, Camberi had the ball in the back of net. However, he handled it to control it in the first place. So correct there. But, you know, we've seen the worst of the Rangers support as well after this game, and there was a lot of calls for to get Gerrard out now. Well, that is just absolutely ludicrous. You know, the where we've been, where we were, and where we've come from in the last 18 months with them has been night and day. Has the league form been good since the winter break? Of course it hasn't. Has there been failings? Has he made mistakes? Absolutely. I think he would be the first to admit that, but he is learning. And I think too many fans are getting wrapped up in this stop 9 in a row, stop 10 in a row thing. As I said on Twitter the other day, I'm worried more about Rangers getting 55 than Celtic's fictitious 9 and 10 in a row, because we weren't there for most of it. And we've been in a rebuilding process for the 3-4 years we've been back as well. So I don't class their 9 and 10 in a row. And as I keep saying, it means nothing outside of Scotland anyway. So
the whole Gerrard out thing, Derek, and I really don't pay much attention to it, because it is, you don't know who it is that's posting these things. You don't know if it's wee laddies at 14-year-old. You don't know if it's, you know, guys in their 50s or their 60s that are, you know, still living in the sort of past, guys that don't have a grasp. You don't actually know who it is that's coming away with this on social media. You really don't. And I don't pay too much attention to it at all. You don't know if the vast majority of time on Twitter it's folk making up fake accounts and just doing stuff to wind folk up. I honestly don't know. I would honestly say that the vast, vast majority of Rangers fans out there are happy with Steven Gerrard being there, as we saw in the Bragg Airport last night with the videos of everybody cheering him on. I've, you know, still certainly got faith in him. There, as you say, there has been mistakes. This is his first job in management. I would still like to think, though, Derek, that he should be calling on his more experienced staff in there. I mean, guys like Gary McAllister and that should be, in my opinion, there to help him as well. But I don't think he's getting, and I'm not slagging off McAllister here, but because he doesn't have an ex a manager alongside him, somebody, you know, where, you know, it's an experienced manager as his number two. Gary McAllister's making, you know, some rookie mistakes as well when he's giving him advice and stuff. So we've got to be mindful of that, Derek. But look at what we've achieved just in, you know, the last year with him, and that there has been some, you know, disappointing results. But you've got to, and I hate giving them any credit, and it's not that I'm giving them credit, but we would have been expecting Celtic to have dropped a few points. Let's be honest. We wouldn't have expected them to have a 100% record since the last Old Firm game. I certainly didn't. I certainly was saying to myself, they'll draw a couple of matches, they might get beat a game, as we will as well. But I didn't expect us to, you know, perform so badly in certain games, and I certainly didn't expect them to be winning all their games as well, which I'm still surprised at, to be honest with you. And unfortunately, it has now made quite a large gap in points. The league's not over, but it's certainly out of our hands now. We've got to make sure we win every single match and hope that they get beaten a couple of games or draw a few games. And I'm more worried about us, the new Derek, not getting the 100%, and you know, and winning all our games rather than them, because we're now taking the pressure off them, and we should be putting pressure on them. Certainly, the way that we finished, you know, before the winter break, we should have really been ramping up the pressure on them, and unfortunately, we've not been able to do it.
No, I mean, as much as Celtic's been good, I don't think they've improved. I don't think they've got worse. It's certainly us that's got worse, and we've taken the pace off. We were neck and neck with Celtic going into the break. We're actually slightly better than them, if you take into account the potential for the game in hand, but we've still got... So we've clearly, the ones that have dropped the ball, we've got to accept that, and we've got to now hope that they will obviously drop points, as you said, but worry about ourselves first also, as you've said.
It's what I think a lot of fans need to remember is Celtic haven't beaten us to be in this position. We have, you know, it's been down to us not being able to beat other teams. It's not had anything to do with them in games against them and defeats against them or victories against them. It's been clearly down to us not beating other teams. So we've basically defeated ourselves here, Derek. Nothing to do with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll leave the dismal situation of the league there, and we'll go into another fantastic night. The game was last night or two nights ago when you listened to this. Wednesday, the 26th of February. Incredibly, a 1-0 win away against Braga to put us through 4-2 on aggregate. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Edmondson, Barisic, Davis, Jack, Arfield, Kent, Hadji and Kemperi. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Halliday, Katic, Aribo, Kamara, Ojo and Stewart. Now, after 15 seconds, a slack pass back, out of our defence, that almost let Braga in. And I sent you a message saying it's going to be a long night, and you replied, "Yes, I know, I'm hiding behind a cushion."
Yes, exactly.
What minute did that cushion get chucked away, Dave?
Probably with about... No, it didn't, mate. I was still hanging on to it right at the end of the game, I'll be honest with you. But no, it was... I was exactly the same as you. I thought, shit, 15 seconds gone and we're already making mistakes and putting ourselves under pressure, which is what we weren't, you know, wanting to do. Thankfully, though, Derek, that is the only sort of bad point that I seem to remember in the whole game for us, because from there on, I'll be honest with you, I thought we were in complete control.
I wouldn't say complete control, but certainly we had a majority of it. They had a lot of possession, absolutely, and towards the end of the game, they did try and batter us, but they never penetrated the defence because we were immense in defence in this game. As I said, we had the first, you know, maybe few minutes, we were a wee bit shaky, a few bad passes, but then we settled quite quickly into it. On the 8th minute, it was a quick break from midfield going 2v2. Arfield managed to slide the ball to Kemperi on the left, took it into the box and had a blistering shot, but it was right at the keeper who saved it. Much like Morelos' one in the first leg, as I said in the post-match, it's almost a case of this happens often. It doesn't matter what team it is, if it's us or if it's another team or whoever, the attacker always shoots right at the keeper, and I don't know if the keeper's bright shirt seems to act as a beacon and that's like a place to aim for. It's maybe just one of these things.
Yeah, it was a great chance, Derek. And again, I said to my laddie when we were watching it, when you have chances like that, especially in these big games, you've really got to make the most of it. But unfortunately, as you say, he hit it straight at the keeper.
Yep. 19th minute, lovely ball down the right wing. Hadji beats one defender, dinks it over the other, gets the ball into the box, cuts it back to Kemperi, who shoots it wide. It was closed down, however. It was a great chance. Hadji was absolutely immense with this one.
Yep, definitely. Superb.
21st minute, Hadji with a free kick from 25 yards, but it went well over the bar. 25th minute, Braga on the left, a lot of time with the ball and allowed it to get it wide to their player, who plays a great cross into the middle of the box. The attacker gets his head to it and McGregor had to pull off a great save to tip it over the bar.
Yep.
And that was really the only thing he had to do all
game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
29th minute, Kent loses possession on the right side, allows Braga to get the ball forward, puts it in it to the left side of the pitch, a dangerous cross into the middle, the attacker gets his foot to it but puts it wide. 33rd minute, Braga with the ball down the right, two lovely touches by the attacker on the edge of the box, who had a shot, but it was a weak effort at an angle and gathered by McGregor. And then, 43rd minute, a penalty given for us. Corner in, bounced right in front of their defender, up and off his arm. Clear penalty, VAR was checked and it was given. How many times have things like that happened in Scotland and that's not being given?
I know. But.
Yeah, but.
But.
The jinx of the penalty struck again, because had you taken the penalty, and it was a fair play, it was actually a pretty good penalty, but the keeper made an even better save and he guessed the right side on the left on the left hand side of his goal. What do we need to do to score penalties?
Derek, I've been saying this, we've spoke about it in the last few pods. I know that you go with players who are confident. I would rather go, you know, somebody that takes a penalty is someone that's the sort of dead ball specialist. And I know that Hadji scored the free kick in the last game, but it was a deflection. So I would always say, why not give it to somebody else who is a fantastic, you know, dead ball specialist? And we've got one at left back in Barisic. So why has Barisic never taken any of these penalties? I've said it for a while. You know, it's quite incredible. I don't know what it is we've got to do, because, I mean, that's been Morelos has missed. We know what happened with Tavernier. That was Hadji. Who else is taking penalties and missed as well? I'm sure there's more than that, but it just seems to go on, especially big games, big times like that. If we'd have got a goal just before half time, it would have been, you know, absolutely fantastic. But it wasn't to be, and again we were absolutely gutted, and we were saying to ourselves, we should be winning this game with the clear cut chances we had, and we weren't. And you know, Braga were still in it at that point, so no, bitterly disappointing at that stage, Derek. But at the same time, it was 0-0 over there, and we were playing pretty well and controlling the game.
Yeah, it was a good first half, if not a little frustrating, as we had done so much right, but we just couldn't cement the chances we had. Limited chances, we limited the chances to one good chance for Braga with the McGregor save, and the defence was clearing its lines first time, which was a big change.
Yeah.
A lot of the time we were taking too many touches and we were trying to do the fancy thing and play it out. They were just clearing the lines, even if it meant putting it out for a corner. They were doing the rule 101, clear your lines, which was great to see. No-nonsense defending. We had beaten their defensive line on a number of occasions. However, multiple offsides, especially from Camberi.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the fact that they were, again, playing a very high line, was played into that fact, and they just couldn't read it properly. But you need to try and read the game a wee bit better in terms of that. If they're playing the high line, try and just check your run. We'll see how it works out for the next game if he plays. He's obviously going to be cup tied for the next game, but we'll see if he sorts that out. But, you know, as you said, 0-0, the game was still in our hands at that point, and, you know, Braga had to make changes, which they did going into half-time.
And I actually thought, you know, even though we're talking about Camberi, I thought he had an excellent first half, Derek. He was fantastic at holding the ball up. He caused them all sorts of problems. He really should have scored, as you know, as we've said as well, one if not two chances, but I certainly thought he was playing well. And that was the only sort of negative part of his game, was the fact that he was getting caught offside a lot. But we see that with Morelos as well, don't we? He gets caught offside loads of times as well. So, but no, again, going back, we were pleased. It was still 0-0, but we really should have been winning at that point.
Yeah. So 48th minute, a quick break up the park after winning the ball in the middle, passed out to the wide left and then cut back into Barisic on the edge of the box in the middle, took a shot but snuffed out by the defender and cleared. 55th minute, lovely pass on the right into the box to Kamberi, beating the offside trap, got to the touchline, cuts it back but it was too fast paced and it was at shin height and volleyed over the bar. And then we went 1-0 up on the 60th minute. Great patient play, knocking the ball out from the defence, a lovely long ball over the top of the Braga high line by Hadji into space. Kent, who had to make up some distance, but he used his pace to get by the defender, got the ball on the left, took it into the box and shoots past the keeper into the bottom right corner. Just a lot has been said about the Hadji ball, but the work that Kent had to do, that was just amazing. And, you know, given the fact that what we're going to, the money we're going to get for this next round, he's went hell of a way for paying his transfer fee there, hasn't he?
Definitely, Derek. He's taken a lot of stick recently from our fans. I even said that to you as well, that I thought he was maybe needing a wee shot in the sidelines just to, you know, to try and, you know, get him to, I don't know if it's a confidence thing with him or no, but that was fantastic. The ball from Hadji again, absolutely tremendous. But as you say, we'll not take anything away from Kent. He still had to, the pace that he had to show, the upper body strength as well, just to sort of shrug the man off. And then that shot across the goalkeeper into the bottom corner, it was a fantastic finish. Finally, we had scored, Derek. We were getting to that stage that we thought all these chances, the penalty, that we just weren't going to score. It was just fantastic. Another one of these nights and goals, you know, that we'll not forget. A fantastic moment for us and giving us that cushion, because we knew that Braga would now have to score two goals.
Yeah.
And the way the defence was playing, Derek, I'm not saying I was confident, but I was more confident with the way the defence was playing than I had been in the last few games, put it that way. It was just a great moment, Derek. Fantastic.
Yep. So 63rd minute, long shot from Braga, from the Braga attacker, who was drifting to the left and then shot right, but went well wide of the post. McGregor had it covered anyway. 71st minute, lots of possession after a corner from Braga. Probin eventually crossing from the left. Defender gets a great head to it and just wide of the post. 72nd minute, Hadji off and Aribo on. And then we had the ball in the back of the net on the 76th minute. However, it was offside. Goldson got his head to it straight from the corner. The keeper managed to get his fingertips to it and put it onto the post. Comes out to Arfield, who was miles offside, and knocks it into the back of the net. I know some people were celebrating, but I could see he was offside by miles as well, which is unfortunate.
It was a good finish by Arfield as well, because he was completely off balance when he hit it. But as you say, it was offside, so.
Yeah, and it was a great header from Garth Goldson as well. So 77th minute, Kamberi off and Ojo came on, and clearly he was just told to take the ball to the corner as well, because he was actually quite good as well for what he'd done, and he came on, which, you know.
I was actually thinking about you ripping your hair out when you said I'm coming off the bench, Derek, but there you go.
I was just going to say, call me a doctor, I'm actually praising Ojo here. But 80th minute, was a free kick from Braga and the ball off the attacker's shoulder and over the bar. 91st minute, Ojo with a shot from distance tipped round the post and out of the corner by the keeper. He was bloody unlucky with that as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a weird sensation that we knew that as much as Braga needed two goals, you know what we were like. We would lose a goal and with 10 minutes to go, and it would make the last, you know, 5-10 minutes really, really nervy. But I never felt that game, because the defence had played so well.
I heard an interesting stat. Am I right in saying that Rangers have not conceded a goal from a cross throughout the whole of the European campaign? And, you know, that sort of Goldson's, the way he plays, he loves dealing with cross balls and so he can head them out. And that's how that team were playing as well, Derek. So, but you've got to say, for George Edmondson coming into this team, Derek, absolutely phenomenal as well.
Yeah, I think he got man of the match for us as well, and he looked as if he had been in the team for years. He was just so self-assured, which was amazing to see, and I think he's still only, what, 22. Just brilliant. I mean, getting thrown in at the deep end, because that's really what he was last night, so.
It was fantastic. He had the lot last night, Derek. He's control, his awareness of where the players were, you know, fantastic in the air, and just didn't look panicked whatsoever. And that's exactly what we've been missing. And I think I've seen another stat about Edmondson since he's, you know, he's played 9 games for Rangers and 7 of those games have had a clean sheet. He's also scored 1 and made 1 assist out of his 9 games. So, you know, if that's not a stat from remaining the team, I certainly don't know what is. But you'll not get a game against harder opposition and, you know, at this level than the team that were the top goal scorers in the Europa League. So yeah. Hats off to the guy. Absolutely fantastic.
And I think, what was it, we are the first Scottish team since 2011 to win 2 legs of a tournament after the qualifiers as well. And we are the first team to beat Braga at home in any competition this year as well.
Yep, and also the first team ever to qualify for the last 16 who were playing in the first round of the of the Europa League. We're the only team that's ever done that.
That's just phenomenal what we've done this
incredible year. Incredible, yeah. Really is. Absolutely brilliant.
So, I'll get into the bad bit. Now, the league table for the Scottish Premiership: played 27, won 20, drawn 4, lost 3, scored 63, conceded 18, goal difference plus 45, and we're on 64 points. We're sitting in second, 12 behind Celtic with a game in hand, but shockingly, they've got a 20 better goal difference than us.
Yeah.
We're 22 points ahead of Motherwell and we've got a game in hand over them as well. Now, the bit we're obviously interested in, the results tonight in Europe, there's a couple of meaty ties that we could get, a couple of shockers in terms of people getting put out. Obviously, didn't expect Celtic to get put out, but they did. And Arsenal got put out on away goals as well.
Derek, that's a lie because you told me that you actually had Copenhagen down in your coupon the night, so that's a complete lie. I had a sneaky suspicion, Derek. I was winding up a couple of Celtic fans that I know from work that it was going to remain 0-0 in Copenhagen. We're going to get like a 93rd minute winner and stuff like that. But you said as well, Derek, it doesn't matter who we get now. We are going to be the underdogs, and that's what we want. We want to be the underdogs now. And it's sort of, I don't think there's any pressure on us at all at this stage, you know, who we're going to get or whatever. We should just really go enjoy it. I'm hoping we get a huge team. I really am. I'm hoping that we get a Manchester United or somebody like that just for a massive occasion.
Who are you got the teams there that we can get?
Yep, I'll tell you now, Derek. So the teams who Rangers could get in the next round are Basel or Bâle, Wolves, Bayer Leverkusen, Roma, Istanbul, Başakşehir, LASK, Wolfsburg, Getafe, Olympiakos, Shakhtar Donetsk, Copenhagen, Inter Milan, Manchester United or Seville. Obviously, the last three being teams that, well, as I said, I would like to get Manchester United just as a, you know, it'd be a huge game, but there are going to be some difficult ones as well. But as I've said, bring it on. There's no pressure on us. I think that we could go, you know, really, if we can play like we did last night, then we're going to give any team serious headaches. So, and we seem to raise our game in Europe, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, there's no mugs now. And in fact, when you look at Europe overall, there's never any mugs in Europe. And certainly when you get to these rounds, you're right in the nitty-gritty now. Not a lot of teams would want to face us now, no. I think. And that's the big thing, is we know how we can play in Europe if you know, the other teams play a certain way as well, which they've obviously got to be mindful. For me, again, Manchester United would be great because they're no great shakes, let's be honest. But I'm not saying we'll beat them, but I'm saying that it would be a good glamour tie, good British fixture. Manchester, they better brace themselves again this time. And, you know, you can't rule out anybody, you know, Getafe, you know, Ajax, you know, semi-finalists of the Champions League last year.
I do not want a Spanish team, Derek, because historically we do not do well against Spanish teams. We always seem to do well against Portuguese teams. We've had a fair good record against Dutch and German teams, but we never seem to beat the Spanish teams at all. So I would like us to stay well clear of Spanish teams just now. But, you know, bring it on. I'm delighted. I've went through years and years and years, Derek, of us being on top in Scottish football and getting dumped to Europe by absolutely useless pudding teams, even when we were absolutely hammering everybody in Scotland and we were way ahead of everyone. we would get beat by duffer teams. And I was always told, it was thrown in our faces. And Rangers fans a certain age should all agree with me. The media as well in Scotland, it was always, oh, well, you haven't done anything in Europe. You've not done anything against the top teams in the world. Scotland means nothing. I find it quite ironic now that the media are completely praising that lot for their achievements of, as you said, Derek, a completely tainted 8 titles going in for 9 titles. When it was us, you know, when we won it, it was always a shrug of the shoulder. You've not done anything in Europe. You've not proved anything. And it's quite incredible how, you know, it's not played out like that anymore. So I'm delighted, Derek. It's great to see us in this position in Europe. And I definitely think, again, to talk about the manager, it's the Steven Gerrard factor. Because if you can look at all of these teams that will be looking at us to play us, they'll all be saying, oh, well, Steven Gerrard's the manager. Look at his European pedigree. So they're going to be a fantastic team. And we do, again, I've said it already, we raise our game in Europe, don't we?
Well, somebody put it to me today that, you know, Gerrard is just effectively working his ticket. He's only trying for Europe. Well, see, to be honest with you, if Gerrard is only trying to work his ticket, then he needs Rangers to be successful. Being successful not only means the league, it means competing in every single competition you're in. Put it this way, Celtic can get 15 in a row, as far as I'm concerned, if we win the Europa League this year.
Aye, no, I agree with you, Derek. That would be something that would be incredible. And, you know, I would sacrifice something like that as well to win a trophy like that. So absolutely brilliant. Long may it continue, Derek, and, you know, we'll be looking forward to the draw tomorrow, or yes, Today, as it will be when the pod comes out.
Yes.
Rangers FC.
Now, Rangers FC, another team back to the round of 16 after some years. Finalists in the Manchester final 2008 against Zenit.
Against Bayer Leverkusen.
So, for Rangers FC, we have Bayer Leverkusen, one of the former winners, 1988. So, Rangers FC versus Bayer 04 Leverkusen.
So, we're going into the next games now. Another big one on Saturday the 29th of February, away against Hearts in the Scottish Cup quarter-final. That's a 17:30 kick-off. I'm hopefully going to get it, because as I said in the post-match, I'm travelling back up from Newcastle. So, it'll be the four of us trying to huddle round a phone and try to get some sort of stream.
Don't do huddles, Derek.
Right enough. There'll be four of us trying to congregate round a phone,
yes,
and that's better.
That's better, yep.
Yes. So obviously there won't be a post-match from me out after that. Wednesday the 4th of March at home to Hamilton, that's in the Premiership, that's a 19:45 kickoff. Then Sunday the 8th of March away to Ross County in the Premiership, that's a 12:00 kickoff. The first leg of the last 16 is Thursday the 12th of March, and then another big one, Sunday the 15th of March at home to Celtic in the Premiership, that's a 1200 kickoff. Then Thursday the 19th of March, that's in the second leg of the last 16 in the Europa League. I am actually in Tenerife if the coronavirus doesn't hit it anymore. So I'll be watching that probably in the Bluebell there.
The Bluebell, yep, it's good stuff.
And then should have been Saturday the 21st of March at home to St Mirren in the Premiership. That was meant to be a 1500 kickoff. That is likely going to be moved now. However, there's a fixture congestion now by the look of it, especially if we get through this round into the quarter-final. So we've still got a game in hand to play. God knows when we'll actually be able to play that. I can see us having to do another 2008 again, and you know, a massive pile-up of a game every other day. So we'll need to see how that plays out. They got absolutely lambasted for it the last time, but let's just see if we can get there first.
Yeah, exactly. I will know. Count our chickens until they hatch, Derek.
No. So, we'll move on now and we'll go into the classic match.
And there it is! The final whistle's gone! Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup!
So, Dave, what match have you got for us this time?
Derek, I have got an Old Firm classic from 1994. I've been looking at stuff on Instagram and stuff, and I could see my hero Brian Laudrup more and more on social media. And I thought, you know, out of all the classic matches, and the fact that he was my hero, we've not actually covered a lot of games with Brian Laudrup in it. And I was looking back some old matches, and I came across this one. It was played on the 30th of October 1994, where we played Celtic. The Rangers team on that day, Andy Gorham in goals, Fraser Wisher at right back, David Robertson at left back. A debut for Alan McLaren, centre half, along with Basil Boley. Midfield was Stuart McCall, Ian Murray and Charlie Miller, with Peter Hoekstra, Mark Hatley and, of course, Brian Loudrop up front for Rangers. The Celtic team that day, Gordon Marshall, Gary Smith, Tom Boyd, McInally, Brian O'Neill, Phil O'Donnell, Byrne, Paul McStay, Donnelly, Andy Walker and John Collins. So Rangers got off to a great start, winning the ball in midfield. This was just in the first minute. Back to Stuart McCall. He runs and puts a through ball through to Brian Loudrop on the left. Fantastic cross, but headed out for a corner. From that corner, Brian Loudrop to Mark Hatley with a bullet header. It was cleared off the line by John Collins. Really unlucky there. Then a chance for Celtic in the 7th minute. Andy Walker shoots from inside the box after the ball in, but comfortably saved by Andy Gorham. 15th minute, Stuart McCall picks up a clearance from across on the left. He shoots from outside the box, but it was well of the left-hand post. So still 0-0 at that stage. 17th minute, chance for Celtic. Collins on the left wing, a cross and a glancing header for Simon Donnelly. Almost the face of the goal and just past the post, just right across the face of the goal, I should say, and past the post. Stuart McCall having a fantastic game for Rangers. He was just winning absolutely everything in midfield. The Celtic weren't getting a sniff of anything. And then on the 25th minute, Rangers opened the score.
Little touch from Hitley. By Boyd. It's caught by Charlie Miller. Through now for Hitley! Oh, that is a magnificent goal by Mark. 25 minutes gone. Terrific play by young Charlie Miller.
Andy Gorham with a goal kick. He hit it high up to Mark Hatley, who nods it on. Picked up by Tom Boyd, but Charlie Miller slides in, wins the ball and plays in Mark Hatley at the edge of the box, who fires in a tremendous curling shot into the top corner of the goal to make it 1-0 to Rangers. Fantastic goal. 26th minute, Phil O'Donnell with a diving header from a deep cross, which was just past the post. 32nd minute, Brian Loudrop runs down the wing, turns one way, then another, cross onto Mark Hatley, but he unfortunately heads over the bar. But 39th minute, Tom Boyd with a hopeful low cross across the front of our defence, and Byrne hits a low shot into the net to make it 1-1, totally against the run of play. Really felt quite hard done to there, but we didn't have long to wait until we retook the lead.
Just quickly taken, played shot by McCall to Loudrop. Good ball through again for Robertson. It's Hatley! Oh, tremendous play by Rangers. What a stunning ball through by Loudrop to Robertson. The cross from Robertson, and Mark Hatley gets his second goal of the match.
It was Brian Loudrop on the left-hand side with a ball down the wing to Davy Robertson, who races to the byline. A low cross into Mark Hatley, who stabs it into the back of the net to put Rangers 2-1 up just before half-time. And it was no more than we deserved, because we'd been playing absolutely fantastic at that stage. So Rangers 2-1 up at half-time. Great lead for that. Then just into second half, Celtic on the 46th minute were across into the box. Falconer, he shoots, but it was headed away by Basil Boley. Then on the 52nd minute, Brian Loudrop on the right-hand side stops the ball dead on the halfway line, then flicks out to the wing, sprints past the defender, puts a cross into Hatley. Fantastic ball in, but it was just cleared at the last second by the Celtic defender. It would have been a tremendous goal if that had went in. 60th minute, Celtic were across from the left from John Collins. A looping header from Andy Walker actually came off the top of the bar and out. And then on the 65th minute, we put it beyond doubt.
And here's a break on for Loudrop. Showing tremendous pace. He's past the goalkeeper. A sensational goal by Loudrop. 65 minutes gone. Loudrop.
A free kick by Wishart, almost on the byline, up to Mark Hatley, who nods the heads the ball onto Brian Loudrop. He runs into the box with a defender on him, rounds Marshall and slides the ball into the net to make it 3-1 to Rangers. Fantastic play, tremendous stuff. Mark Hatley winning the ball, heading it on. He was so good at that, tremendous. 73rd minute, John Collins with a shot from outside the box. A great save from Andy Gorham out from the corner. And then another great chance, almost identical to his first goal. Ball won in midfield. Brian Loudrup, the last defender. Ball played through. He sprints clear, 1-on-1 with Marshall. Takes it too far wide this time and sidesteps the keeper to the byline, but he was off balance and loses the ball. He really should have shot early, unfortunately. 88th minute, Ali McCoys comes on for Brian Loudrup with a fantastic game, and then from then on, Rangers really did control the game and saw it out. Fantastic result, fantastic play. Brian Loudrup, absolutely sensational, and also a great debut for Alan McLaren as well. A great game to remember, guys. Go back and watch it. I'm sure you can remember the goals from the you know, from the way that I've been describing them, but fantastic game to go back and watch. Derek, can you remember much about it when you were looking back?
I can remember some of the goals, yeah, because I was just looking on highlight videos and stuff like that. But yeah, great game. And I can't believe that was Alan McLaren's debut as well. A good talented player, and you know, career ended too soon, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know. It certainly was, Derek. But at the same time, in the short career that he had, he did achieve a lot. He achieved more than, you know, of a lot of players who have been playing the game for 20 years plus could only dream of. So, you know, he did get championships and cups with Rangers and played in the Champions League as well. So, you know, great. But as I say, if you want to go back and watch a fantastic Old Firm game, great victory. Brian Loudrup, Mark Haley, absolutely fantastic. Go back and watch that one. It was a joy to watch.
Yep. So, Dave will be back with another classic match in the next episode, and now it's time to go into the news. So, a few bits and pieces to go over the news. We'll try and wrap this up soon, but we've got a lot to talk about as usual. First one is where Rangers issued a statement saying that we've served proceedings on LGB Sports Apparel Limited trading as Elite for payment of £2.8 million plus interest and expenses relates to what they owe us as part of the kit manufacturing, etc. Then we released a statement stating they were actively seeking a partner or partners for the club's official kit manufacturer, retailing and licensing rights for the next season onwards. We've also taken Hummel off the website and training ground. So interesting developments there. Not a good sign, and it was kind of mooted that this was going to happen a few weeks ago. Not very good if we're having to sue for money, is it?
No, it's not, Derek. And I'm a bit confused now as to the ins and outs of the Rangers shop and stuff like that. I've been seeing a lot of things online where people are saying, look, we need to boycott the shop now and things like that. So I'm really quite... I don't know if you can shed any light on that, Derek, but is there any money going to the club now with the sale of replica strips and stuff like that?
Your guess is as good as mine. Certainly, I think with Rangers putting out these statements that we're having to sue for money and that we've basically removed Hummel and we're looking for new partners, is that I would say no.
It's a shame, Derek, because we were all... extremely happy, delighted with the Hummel deal and the fact, you know, that everybody was going out and buying the, you know, the strips and stuff like that. So there's still not been any official word on it though, Derek. But you know, certainly when they opened the shop and stuff like that, you know, at St Enoch Square, you know, everybody was going there to get their stuff, and now it's that's up there now. The same with JD Sports as well. So. It never seems to end, does it?
No. I mean, I think this is the old adage about, you know, you could have a deal that, well, obviously I think it stems from Elite apparently getting into bed with Sports Direct, and they're becoming, you know, official distributor. Sports Direct are becoming official distributor. I think that's what that's about. And it's the usual thing, 50% of nothing ends up at nothing at the end of the day. So, it's one of these things that surely Elite must know that if people are going to boycott Sports Direct, they're going to get fuck all money from it. So yeah. I don't know what they're playing at, but maybe that's been the game all along. I don't know, but we'll need to wait and, wait and see. Strangely though, Kilmarnock have announced that Hummel will be their kit manufacturer for the next 3 years. So,
All right, okay.
Interesting turn of events there. Next thing here is with the collapse of Thomas Cook, we've been obviously looking for a new travel partner, and we've partnered up with Corporate Travel Management, so CTM. They'll provide supporters with travel packages, including flights, accommodation, match tickets for European away trips. So it was quite clear that Thomas Cook were struggling to package things together for us, given their difficulties. I still maintain, though, that given the industry is quite volatile, it can be quite difficult and costly for airlines to package things up at the last minute and companies to package things up. I wouldn't be surprised come the start of the qualifiers if, you know, there's a week to organise things like there was before, it will be a struggle for them to organise it. So
yeah,
need to wait and see. Next thing here, another kind of shocking piece of news here. Dave King has had his house broken into only days after he was held up at gunpoint outside his office. So I think he's had a laptop stolen and things stolen as well. So not very good. And
no,
you know, before he was even talking about coming out of South Africa. So I'll certainly not put his mind at ease.
Yeah.
Next thing, and even just as shocking, Michael Stewart has been allowed back on the BBC after a couple of weeks off. Obviously, after the whole Jim 80s meltdown on Sportsound, he's been eventually allowed back on. So I don't think he's been back on yet, but BBC have stated that he's been reminded of his responsibilities. Utter bullshit, because he would have been fully aware of that beforehand. Same with the producer and his his co-host. He should have been sacked on the spot. And bear in mind, this is on the back of his comments have likely riled some absolute weapon up enough to attack Jim Traynor while he was out walking his dog in Cumbernauld, and he was apparently hit with some rocks as well. Not wanting to get into that too much, obviously, with the police dealing with it, but the Rangers have stated that it's clear that BBC Scotland have no intention to deal with us in a fair and reasoned manner,
no.
So we're no longer resuming talks with the BBC. Stuart Robertson has previously stated that we're dealing with BBC London in regards to this, so I don't know what the hell's happened there, but it's now time for an outright ban for BBC Scotland, as far as I'm concerned. Bearing in mind, BBC Scotland are not banned, they've just revoked the credentials for one of the reporters who was unfairly treating us, and they still have yet to apologise for some of the stuff.
Yeah,
so.
No, quite right, Derek, we've been saying it for a long time, the coverage that we get on the likes of Sports Scene and all of that is shocking. The comments that are made about us for that man are absolutely shocking as well. He's playing to his audience. We slag off Chris Sutton, Derek, but Chris Sutton is a wind-up merchant. We know that he says things to get reaction. He says things, you know, online to get a reaction. Whereas Michael Stewart, I genuinely think it's just pure hatred with the man. I really do. And it's some of the stuff that he's came away with has been absolutely shocking. And as you say, it would have just took an apology, him to be taken off the air, but they're sticking by their man, and he'll certainly not change. He'll still go his way to, you know, try and badmouth us wherever he can.
Next one here, another ludicrous thing from the SFA. Their made-up-y charge they hit us with for our players and staff has ended up in us getting a £10,000 fine for Michael Beale getting sent off and the gestures by Morelis and Kent against Celtic, and another £5,000 fine for Tom Colshott getting sent off against Hibs. Bear in mind, the most that the SFA have ever fined people for something, anything remotely similar, is only about £2,500. So where the charges came from is unbelievable. What's even more amazing is that they've came out and said that the players, Kent and Morelis, weren't punished for their gestures. However, Claire White, the compliance officer, included the incidents in the overall club conduct charge. Hold the bus a minute. Morelis was given a second yellow card and obviously then suspended, so he was punished. So it's a double punishment.
Totally, yep, completely.
So regardless of you think that they're separate, they're not the same thing, because the club are without one of their players for selection because of that ban now. So Rangers have said they're going to appeal it. We'll see what transpires with it, but just ludicrous decision once again from the SAFA, which we'll get onto in a couple of stories' time. Next thing here, two SNP councillors have been cleared in any wrongdoing of Rangers not being allowed to use the Glasgow Council-owned Glasgow Life Complex outside the stadium as a fan zone. They were cleared by a panel who have some of their own party in the panel. Not for me to say, but I'll let you decide on that one, the line that they've taken there. In any case, Rangers Charity Foundation have taken over the long-term lease of the complex and will be upgrading it, and it won't be used as a fan zone. It'll be used as what it's intended for. I don't think many Rangers fans agree with that, because the Rangers Charity Foundation have had to basically fund this. But unless there's a long-term thing that they're not telling us that they've got in mind, so... Rangers under-19s were knocked out of the UEFA Youth League playoff at Firhill after a 4-0 tanking by Atletico Madrid. By all accounts, we were completely outclassed. However, we play with, I think, youngsters compared with the normal age of round about under-19s for that. So, good experience for them, unlucky for them, but unfortunately it came as a loss.
Yep.
Rangers Colts narrowly lost to Inverness Cali Thistle in the Challenge Cup semi-final. They lost 2-1. And just a complete bizarre SFA ruling here. Inverness got a player wrongly sent off. The ref thought it was a dive. It clearly wasn't. To a man, our fans and management and even our players have stated that it wasn't a sending off or a dive. Inverness appealed it. They initially lost, and then bizarrely the SFA stated they're going to review it again, as one of the panel of three that reviewed it initially were basically disregarding some of the rules or disregarding something to do with it, and they've now found in favour of Inverness and the red card's been rescinded. Just absolutely, you couldn't make it up with the SFA and the way they deal with their disciplinary committee.
I know, going back to the game, Derek, Rangers the Colts were very, very unlucky in that game. I sat and watched it was on BBC Alba. Really unlucky, they were winning 1-0, and unfortunately they got put out. I was desperate for them to get through to the final to play Raith Rovers, because that would have been a fantastic achievement again, but wasn't to be. And as you say, the decision, the governing body, Scottish Football, over that. I think the guy's name Keating's his name is.
Yeah.
Was quite incredible, but it has been overturned now, Derek, and he can play in the next game, which is good for him, but quite incredible. But doesn't surprise us, does it, really?
No, absolutely not. Another one for the youngsters as well. They were unfortunately knocked out of the quarterfinal of the Alcas Cup. However, Charlie Lindsay was named MVP of the tournament and likened to Wayne Rooney. So obviously they won the tournament last year, but unfortunately they couldn't repeat that and defend their trophy.
Yeah, no, unfortunately not. Again, some quality teams in there, Derek, but you know, they apparently played, you know, extremely well. And, you know, again, the opportunity for these young players to be playing with the best players in the world at that age group and still going, you know, as far as they did is still a fantastic achievement. So well done to the guys for getting as far as they did.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And, you know, we've said it for a couple of years now, we have some very promising prospects coming through. So it's hopefully they can get into the first team as well. When their time's ready. A bit of just brilliant banter there. The official Twitter account, not the Rangers one, the official Twitter account briefly changed their header image to Ryan Kent celebrating in Braga. They actually put a tweet out saying that they needed a new header image, and a Rangers fan, I can't remember who it was, he sent them the Ryan Kent image, and briefly it was up there. Just absolutely genius. I'm sure if the Orcs got some sort of, if they got wind of that, they would be going into complete meltdown at that stage, but brilliant.
I'm surprised they're not, Derek, to be perfectly honest with you. But
they've got enough to deal with today, haven't they?
Well, again, Derek, I don't know how much you're wanting to go into that. I really don't know much about it. I didn't see it, but I don't know if you're going to be having a wee section on that.
Yeah, I don't want to do it, but I feel as if it's pertinent to mention it briefly. I'm not going to go into too much depth of it because of ongoing investigations, ongoing court cases, ongoing police investigations as well. But Channel 4, Alex Thompson, that man who tried to do us in as well, he has done a 2-segment investigative piece on the Channel 4 News at 7 over the last couple of days, basically going into about paedophile rings and you know, basically child trafficking from Scottish football down to English football, obviously highlighting Celtic in that, and they've left them under no questions need to be asked about our Celtic Boys Club and Celtic linked. They are intrinsically linked, undoubtedly, and has left Celtic in tatters with that one. And I think they've got a lot of questions to answer. The first thought, obviously, is with the survivors. You know, it's an absolute shocking and abysmal, appalling thing that's happened there. Quite rightly, no club should be left unturned with this one. We've said it all along. There needs to be an open and fair and independent investigation into all clubs affected. Rangers, yes, have admitted there was a couple of people involved in Rangers that were up to no good in terms of that, and we dealt with them promptly and correctly, regardless of what anybody of the other persuasion is listening that want to think. Rangers dealt with this correctly. Celtic continue, and with their non-apology just before this Channel 4 news thing broke, they went to court to try and stop it coming out entirely, from what we're led to believe, but they issued a non-apology just before that before it aired last night as well, and apologised but not directly. They've admitted now that there was contracts between the boys club and Celtic, but they still haven't outright admitted that they were one and the same thing, which is going to get found out very shortly. And I think Celtic have had to change tack slightly on this one, because this is now national. This is not just getting covered up and held back by their friends in the Scottish media. This is getting national coverage now. And with there being clear links now to trafficking down south, it's taken an even more worrying turn, and it's something that they cannot hide from. This is why we've asked for an open investigation for this now, for every club, not just Celtic. Hopefully the survivors get the justice they deserve. That's all I'd really want to see on that one, because it's something that is obviously an open investigation. We don't want to prejudice anything that might come forward. And bearing in mind, I include Rangers in this one as well, and I include every club. If there's any wrongdoing that's been proven to be covered up, or proven that this happened, the appropriate sanctions and the appropriate punishments need to be levelled out.
Yep, and with a shadow of a doubt, yep.
And the one thing that Celtic fans online are trying to deflect once again, they're trying to say, well, the Celtic Boys Club and Celtic Football Club are two separate things. They're two separate company numbers. They really need to go and look how companies work. I'll liken it to Rangers and Rangers Retail, two separate companies, but it's an umbrella of Rangers, the overall company.
Derek, I have still to see the report. We have been talking about this for years and years and years and years. It seems to have been sort of common knowledge that all of this was supposed to be going on. I can certainly remember hearing rumblings of it a long, long time ago, before it's all came out. If, you know, and again, we need to watch what we're saying, because there is, you know, there's still a lot of legal proceedings here. I can't comment on what I've not seen already. The thing that's annoying me, Derek, the most thing about it is when this gets highlighted in any way, shape or form, the first thing that gets thrown in your face is the point scoring thing. Not about, oh my God, we need to get something done about this, or oh my God, there needs to be an investigation, or oh my God, you know, that's shocking, there needs to be an apology made. It's straight away you're just point scoring. Regardless if people are point scoring or not, Derek, this needs to be raised constantly. There needs to be something done about it. There's, as you say, a lot of questions that need to be asked, and I just find it incredible that there are so many people out there, and I'm including fans of certain teams, who still will not admit that, you know, it's getting questioned that these things have happened, and the first thing that gets thrown in your face is the fact that you're just point scoring rather than facing up to it and demanding answers. Because I'll be honest with you, Derek, if this had happened at my club, I would have been saying as well, we want to know exactly what's going on here and what has happened and who knew about it and what steps were taken. But I honestly have not heard any fans of that club come out and say anything like that at all. It's just straight on the defensive, use a point scoring, end off. And it shouldn't be like that at all, Derek. You should be wanting to know exactly what happened, even if it paints your club in a really bad light.
you really should. And it just astonishes me that that's, you know, not the attitude that's been taken here. This, it's incredible.
Do you know what? Even if it is point scoring, then good, because it keeps it in the public light. It keeps it in the domain of questions need to be asked. So point score all you want, as far as I'm concerned, because it's gone on too long now. And as you said, something needs done about it, regardless of who it is. These people, they don't deserve to live.
In my opinion, it is the worst crime that you could possibly commit.
Yeah.
It's the worst crime that you could possibly commit. Anybody that can defend it in any way are completely sick in the head. It's the worst thing. Nobody, there can't be any excuses for it whatsoever. And I think the fact that, you know, allegedly, you know, all these things are coming out, that it happened time and time again and was allowed to keep happening as well, is even worse. It's incredible. And it needs to be out in the open. Everybody needs to know exactly what's happened. You know what has happened. And the people who allowed this all to happen, the people that covered it up as well, are just as bad as the people that have done it. So that's all I'm going to say on it just now. I'm going to wait to see what the sort of official word is. I'm going to watch back the programme just to sort of make my own mind up about it. I know what you've told me about what happened in it, Derek. But if it is now on national news, it'll be interesting to see if any of the rest of them will pick it up now or not.
Yeah. So, a wee bit more tasteful things here, as Kenny Miller has been appointed director of the Australian side, Newcastle Jets. So,
yeah,
I'll be interesting to see where he wants to try and become a player technical director.
Yes,
isn't it?
Exactly. Yep.
Yep. The last piece of football news here I've got is Nacho Novo is leaving NN10 Bar to his business partner, and the bar will be rebranded and he's going to be focusing on football and getting into coaching. So luck to Nacho. Yep. There.
Definitely.
Yep. So, monster crocodile bites hunter's penis after he mistook it for a log.
A log.
Right. Well, I don't know. Well, an Australian man was wading through a shallow water when he stepped on a log. Seconds later, his groin was in the jaws of a saltwater crocodile. Oh, right. The way that was written there made out as if the crocodile thought his penis was a log.
Exactly. That's what I thought, yeah.
Aye. On Saturday, October 26, around 12:30 p.m., Elston Lammy Lammy was hunting near Mingelang.
Nelson Lammy Lammy at Mingelang.
Yes. On Croker Island when he faced off against the reptile. After stepping on what he believed to be a submerged log, the 42-year-old soon realised the severity of his error.
Oh dear.
After stepping on the crocodile, it initially stayed still, leaving Lammy Lammy, Lammy like a statue, figuring out what to do next. Then 15 seconds later, the 4.5-metre-long angry reptile viciously flipped, launching his teeth into his right leg. In a bid to free himself from the croc's grip, he booted it with his other leg. Unfortunately, all he did was annoy it. The reptile attacked again, this time biting him on the groin.
Oh dear. Poor Lammy Lammy.
He continued to repeatedly punch the wild beast, trying to, with all his might, to get it off.
To get what off?
Exactly. To get it off. After his barking dogs and shouting relative distracted the croc, the 42-year-old made great his escape.
Well done, Lammy Lammy. And did his groin make an escape?
It doesn't say.
Here's hoping Lammy Lammy made it away in one piece.
Lammy Lammy told ABC Darwin, "When he come up, he flipped like me. He looked me in the eye." I don't know what accent that is. I'll admit I've fucked that accent up now.
Derek, you're making it as if your accents are usually spot on.
That's because they are. Crikey, what a crocodile. I hit him three times in the nose. He sounded like
He sounded like fucking Frank Butcher.
Jane, I love you fat patch, those earrings. Ricky.
Oh, I think we'll leave it there, Derek.
Yeah, on that note.
Oh dear.
So before we wrap up, just want to do, we've had a quick request for a shout out. Got to give a shout out to This Is Ibrox, which his Twitter handle is at This Is Ibrox, funnily enough. He's got a new blog that he's making and he does some great stuff on there. We had a couple of messages back and forward there. Some good stuff on his blog there. So if you go to his Twitter handle, follow him and like his blog as well. So as ever, that wraps up this podcast. Dave and I will be back at some point, hopefully before I go on holiday. Well, maybe depending on coronavirus.
Exactly.
On the 18th. So we'll hopefully be back after maybe the Ross County game, if not the after the first leg of the Europa League.
Yeah.
All that's left for me to say is if you want to check us out, you can go to our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com, and there you can find all the stuff there.
Excellent.
Yes. So mixed bag tonight, but certainly riding on a high for, you know, the fact that we're through to the last 16 in the Europa League. We need to win against Hearts now and keep continuing on in the league. Hopefully Celtic's loss tonight will be the start of their downfall. We just need to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, like we said, Derek, I think we just need to worry about us rather than anything else and hope that it goes our way. But certainly in Europe, absolutely fantastic. We can't ask for any more. Absolutely delighted and, you know, let's go on and hopefully get a good result against Hearts on Saturday.
Absolutely. So, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Take care, folks. Goodbye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.